Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, Spokane. I hope everybody has had a great and productive week. As you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798Part2.org as well as RepublicReview.org. As I always say on my national show as well as this local show, actually I'm just now starting to tell you this, but this really is the only show on the air, not only just locally, but nationally. This is the only show that asserts the only constitutional process and solution to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. So if you cannot listen to this entire show, whether that be today or even tomorrow, because it'll be re-aired tomorrow on Thursday, it is also rebroadcasted on Saturday at 1 and Sunday at 9, and tomorrow this show will be rebroadcasted from 5 to 6, Saturday 1 to 2, Sunday 9 to 10. With that, you should be able to catch all of today's show, and we have a very special guest today because I've actually gotten the elusive Rob Chase in to do an interview with us, so I know you're going to enjoy this. And actually, I really want you to pay attention to the questions and my approach with Rob, because I don't want to give it away, but going in, I really didn't believe some of the things I had heard about Rob. And so I will let you listen, and then we'll talk about that after the two segments that we did with him. As you know, this is an educational show, and many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. Consequently, to stay abreast with our content, you will need to listen to all of these shows to garner what Republic Review is and how we can reclaim the Republic. Don't forget, you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org on the KSBN podcast page. So there you go, you've got that. Most importantly, have you sent in your ballots? You know it's due. You know you should have done it last week. Get on the ball and get those ballots in. I'm trying to emphasize, that's why we had Aline in last week to talk about the importance of getting the ballots in. We do not want any more races being determined by, a low voter turnout. There are too many suspicious and or potential problems that could arise. And so it is far more important to alleviate those types of problems by just participating. That is the one thing that everyone in a self-government government needs to do, is vote. So, I mean, how hard can it be? They didn't even have you pay for postage this time. So how about that? Isn't that nice? Anyway, speaking of Rob, as our local community leader, he also has his Republican Coffee Club every Friday morning at 7. And this Friday, Friday, August 3rd, he has Catherine Nichols, and she is from the Spokane County Veterans Services. So if you are a veteran or you have veteran concerns, or here's a better one for you, if you want to understand what government-provided health care can be like, then you need to go there, because if you think government health care is great, then you should go there and find out, you know, what the real truth is, how long people are waiting, and what the bureaucracy in the process does to our veterans, and to think that everybody wants to get into this boat. Really? Anyway, I'm not a fan of government services. Anyway, I don't want to go too deep into that rat hole. But I will also say that August 10th, he has a very special surprise, and it is so special that is yet to be determined. So you may want to make sure that you just show up on August 10th and overwhelm Rob and the Something Else Deli, because it is that special. So anyway, the admission is $5, which gets you a coffee and pastry. And you can also buy yourself a breakfast sandwich and many other things from the deli, that because they are open at that time, very specifically for this particular event or Rob's events, because I don't think they're usually open that early in the morning. Not a lot of people are really up and, you know, working and or presenting and that type of stuff. I mean, that's kind of early for a work day. But anyway, as I said, I've got Rob's interview, and I was very, very impressed. I think you will be too, and I will get into the back view, or I'll give you the backstory when that is all said and done. I think the most important thing I want to lead into before we get into that show is, just don't forget, next week is Northwest Grassroots Movie Night on August 8th, a week from today. Put it on your calendar. I've been telling you every show, and I try to give you the month in advance, Northwest Grassroots. They are the only organization that is literally, I don't want to say a nonprofit, but I mean, they're an organization that struggles to make sure that the voters in this area are actually getting informed. And I also want to tell you, before I go further down this thing on the Northwest Grassroots, there is an event coming up, and I'm going to be starting some announcements on this, but it is the Liberty or Death Rally, August 18th, and it'll be at Franklin Park, and it'll be from 11:30 to 2. And I want you to be able to come, because this is really an opposition rally for I-1639, and so it's an illegal, unconstitutional bill trying to take away gun rights, and so it is time for we the people to stand up and participate in, again, our self-governance concepts by standing up and actually showing your support for your liberty and for your constitutional rights, because I-1639 is literally a bill that is violating your civil rights, period. Now, back to this Northwest Grassroots Movie Night coming up on the 8th. I want to make sure you attend. And it is very important that you get involved, because our community is literally under fire. Let me tell you about what happened last month. Last month, I forget the gentleman's name, because you know me, I'm really bad with names. I think it's Jason Alsop or something like that. But anyway, this has really become a something more that's, people are trying to make something more there than what is really there. And I hate to sound like Bill Clinton on there's nothing there there. Anyway, apparently this gentleman has been labeled as, I think, a white supremacist. That seems to be the prevailing concept, that this guy is guilty of being a white supremacist. And so I guess that there are a lot of people that are really out trying to excoriate and scorch earth around him and anybody that associates with him. Don't know any of that. And as a matter of fact, I do know that he showed up. So here's the backstory. He showed up at the Red Pill Expo, and everybody said, hey, this terrible white supremacist is coming, and he's going to try to take over your event and everything else. So there was all this misinformation that had already, you know, happened. And then when this gentleman shows up, Jason, apparently that wasn't any of the, you know, it what ended up happening, what he said and how he presented himself had nothing to do with what they were prepared for or how they had been tweaked or tuned. You know, it's like whenever the news wants to start, you know, talking about an individual, they will use very precise words to help tune your biases. Like this, this coming up expo is sponsored by a conspiracy theorist, G. Edward Griffin. And right there, they are giving you, well, this guy's a wacko because he's a conspiracy theorist. They have tuned us to believe that certain words will actually create a paradigm in our minds to either discredit and or marginalize or even think a very specific way. So anyway, as they kind of tuned in those people that were at the Red Pill Expo, and Cecily Wright was there, she's the chair of the GOP, excuse me, what she did was she did probably the right thing. She just left because she did not want to be a part and or associated, and did not want to necessarily associate the GOP with this gentleman and, you know, having to be there. So anyway, so she departed. Well, John, her husband, was there, and he kind of got engaged with this guy. And come to find out, he didn't find any there. So he was kind of curious as to what the heck was going on and why. And so this guy, whether he was bamboozling John or what have you, because it takes time. It literally does take time to measure results. It takes time to really get to the real answers. And there is so much fake news. There is so much false narrative that we are now at a point where we literally have to be objective, and we have to actually allow things to take its course. Imagine that. And so as John went down this conversation, he actually had a further conversation with this gentleman and said, you know what, why don't you come up for our Northwest Grassroots movie night and you can kind of speak your spiel. And so they did, but they didn't give him a script. They weren't expecting anything. I don't know whether he ad-libbed or whether there was any expectations on what he needed to do or what he needed to say or anything else. But regardless, everybody is trying to spin this because they're still dying, or they're still, I should say, married to their scorched earth attitudes. And what I have heard plenty of people say is the fact that he did not necessarily say anything that was inflammatory, but he didn't, you know, excuse himself or apologize or, but should he? Why should he? Anyway, when we come back, we'll have Rob Chase in our interview. And so the next two segments will be Rob. I'll be back at the back end. And so please stay tuned. We got a hard break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so we're back, and we actually have Rob Chase in the studio with us, and I really appreciate you coming in, Rob. I've been promising the audience that you would be here, and so you're making that promise come true.
Well, thank you, GR. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so I want to ask you first off and foremost, explain to the audience, because I've already talked to them about the PCO finagling last year. Can you expound upon that for them so that they can understand what ended up happening to you?
Well, PCO stands for Precinct Committee Officer, and each political party has every precinct. You know, they have someone who's elected in the primary that runs for Precinct Committee Officer. Usually they don't have much competition, but they're kind of like the central committee of the party. So Spokane County, for instance, has 360 precincts. By comparison, Garfield County, where Pomeroy is, has 12 precincts. And because by population, King County has a couple thousand. But so all the precinct committee officers get together when there's an elected official that needs to be replaced because they've resigned or passed away. And that's what happened in this case. The previous commissioner for District 2 in Spokane County was Shelley O'Quinn. And shortly after she was reelected in 2016, she had a good job offer and took it, so it left a vacancy. The Board of County Commissioners is normally three people, and it had gone down to two. Well, I thought I had a good chance to win because Al French, the District 1 commissioner, had made a promise to the precinct committee officers that he would vote for whoever came in first place.
But that was a verbal promise, right?
A verbal promise.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I thought you did win. I thought that the PCOs actually elected you first.
Yes, they did. Well, what they do is they have three runoff elections.
Right.
Whoever comes in first place, of course, in the first one with over 50% is the first person they send to the commissioners. Then they have round two and then round three. So they select three people for the commissioners to represent. So I was pretty sure I would have Josh Kearns would back me, and Al French had made that commitment.
Right.
And so I thought if I can just come in first place, I think I'll be appointed. So what happened was I did come in first place. So when we did our interviews, then actually it was deadlocked. And it went to Governor Inslee. And then Governor Inslee appointed Mary Cuny, who had come in second place, as
I don't want to gloss over this. You said it was deadlocked, but basically, what ended up happening was Al French didn't do what he promised everybody that he would do. He said he was going to go and follow the wishes of the PCOs.
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to give the audience a backstory. So, if I have to play the bad guy, I'm okay with that. And actually, they kind of knew that last year because we ran a lot of ads and we were telling everybody that we were hoping that Al French would have been, above board and holding to his commitment. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed he's running again.
Right.
But anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
So bottom line is Inslee, our governor, who's, I think he has the best interest of the red side of this state, and I think he's got the best interest of all the people in Washington, and that's probably dished up with the greatest amount of sarcasm I could probably dish up there. And so the fact is that the person that was seated, which is Mary,
right,
is running for re-election, and you're running against hers. In other words, the person that Inslee picked, you're running against.
Now, when you say re-election, it would have meant she was elected the first time, but she was appointed rather.
Right.
And what happens in this is the next election, the following year, then you have to, after the appointment, then you have to run for election to fulfill the remaining term of that commissioner.
Sure, sure. I completely get that, and I completely understand that. But some people may have the idea that she's the incumbent. And I guess I'm portraying that as a re-election. But what I'm really what I really want to spell out is the fact that she is the Inslee pick that you are running against. And that's the most important thing.
Well, technically she's the appointee. So I'm making an election out of it, give it to the people to decide.
Right. Absolutely. I get that. Absolutely. That's the process. And that's the importance of the PCO. So moving forward in your campaign, how's that been going?
Well, it's going very good, I believe, because I can't keep up with Mary on fundraising. She has a lot of good connections in the community and heavy donors, and I have a lot of shoe leather for doorbelling.
So okay.
Those are two different strategies, either raising money or going door to door. And I started the first part of April, and I have a Fitbit watch that counts your steps. So I've dedicated that portion of doorbelling to keep track of how many steps I've taken. I've taken 1.25 million steps since April 2nd, going door to door with my literature. So I've met several thousand people now. And I think people will vote for you if you actually took the time to come to their door or walk up the hill to their house.
Right.
and all that. But it's been enjoyable. I like meeting people. There's a few stinkers out there, but most of them are pretty good people. I've had some, and it's too bad because sometimes you want to talk for a long time because you really enjoy talking to people. You got to keep on moving too.
Right, because it's volume. In the game you're playing, it is volume. I get that. And so you're not running into the primary. You're actually running into the general because it's just the two of you. Is that not correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well,
And Washington State, of course, is top two forward. So we're both Republicans. So the primary is just kind of a good barometer of where the people are at.
Okay. Well, I can tell you this, that last week you got my endorsement.
Oh, thank you.
And so because it's already out, everybody already knows, if you hadn't known yet. But I can understand you're out knocking on doors with whatever time you have, and you're currently serving as treasurer, right?
Right, right. So I've been doing a lot of evenings and weekends, and the month of June I did take 2 weeks off. I took it in term, 4 hours a day, and then went going back to work. But 4 hours is about as much as I can
handle.
Walk in a day. So to do a precinct takes probably about 10 hours to cover a precinct. I've covered I'm on my 42nd precinct now.
I would hate to see some of these remote county precincts and how you would do that.
Well, if they're very rural, there's no point, in it. You just kind of hope the word goes out. Or if you have someone that's a volunteer, they can teach their son or daughter driving lessons. And while they're driving the car, they can put the flyers in the spokesman review boxes.
If they don't knock the boxes over.
Yeah, exactly.
But let me ask you this. Have you gotten any assistance out of PCOs in the county?
Oh, yes, some. I've had about 10 people that have offered to do their own precincts.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's very helpful. Or else not even their own precinct, maybe a nice area of town that they'd like to walk through.
Right, okay. And is this a county-wide for you?
No, it's the county has
it's a district, right?
So
yeah.
That's 120 precincts. So that's a little bit more you can, since it's smaller.
Right.
In general, then you kind of have to be more selective of where you're you've got to find the higher Republican districts and to get the vote out. Now, since there's no Democrat running, there's probably going to be a big undervote. Now, some might oppose, go for Mary because she's appointed by Inslee. But then I've had a lot of common cause issues with Democrats, too. We've worked together on things.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to be a nonpartisan position, right?
No, it is partisan.
Oh, it is a partisan position. Okay, good. I don't know how they can come up with this is nonpartisan and that isn't. I cannot see how any person can literally unwire their head when they go to work when we're in such an ideologically divided world. I mean,
well, it's usually city councils that are nonpartisan, but county commissioners are partisan by state code. But even if they're nonpartisan, you pretty much know just by their endorsement what machine is behind which candidate.
Right. Well, so endorsements. Who else do you have endorsing you?
Well, I live in the 4th District, so I've got all three legislators there who have endorsed me, Senator Mike Padden, Representative Matt Shea, and Representative Bob McCaslin Jr.
Okay. And any Democrats endorsing you?
No, I've had Democrats that are friendly, but they don't really want to ruin their reputations by getting, it's kind of secretly. They say, well, here's a donation, but please don't
really
put me down as an endorsement. Yeah.
Even though Republicans will publicly, I've seen Republicans publicly endorse Democrats.
Well, they will if they're really angry at the Republican. That's right. Or they could, the Democrat, in some cases, might do a better job than the Republican, too.
Okay. All right. Well,
but there's sort of a cost to that. People can use that. Oh, you're not for party unity.
Now, you would have been a slam dunk if you ran again for treasurer.
Yes.
Okay. But it's a personal thing for you not to be in a position for two terms?
Two terms. And when I ran the first time, the wording I had on my flyers said, well, I believe that the founders of the nation wanted people from Main Street to hold these positions for a term or two. And then someone asked me, everyone told me I wouldn't win anyway, but someone asked, well, does that mean you're taking a two-term pledge? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. But I did say that,
and stuck
to it and repeated it again when I was reelected in 2014. So I ran against George Nethercutt in 2002 for Congress. Uh-huh. And I ran as a Libertarian. I had a lot of fun doing it. You know, there's a lot of freedom you get when you know there's absolutely no chance of winning. You can say whatever you want. I told him it was a big mistake to go into Iraq, and I think history has borne me out on that. But he had broken his term limits pledge, and I thought that was wrong. We have to have people tell the truth, because they actually do have a bully pulpit. There are younger people that listen to them and copy them and all that. Right. So it's a sense of responsibility if you're going to go for those positions.
Completely respect that. I really do. I just I know we're about 15 seconds away from going into break, so I'm going to hold you on. And I know you have some other news regarding Avista, because I know a lot of people are very interested in that. So we'll do another segment on some other things that Rob Chase is doing. And I definitely want to talk about the Republican Coffee Club. So, as you can tell, we're at that hard break, folks. So, if you please stay tuned, we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so as promised, Rob Chase is still here, and let's shift gears from the election. And Rob, if you wouldn't mind, I know you were talking about taking on this Hydra One issue. How are you doing that?
Well, as treasurer, when I was elected, I didn't quite know what to do. I didn't know what my powers were and all that. I felt like I had the ruby slippers like Dorothy, but I didn't know how to use them. But I've done several firsts in my campaign. I was the first Republican treasurer elected since 1956. I was the first public official to win as a write-in. And also, I was the first one to pass legislation, or spirit legislation, that allowed partial payments for current and past due property taxes, any amount at any time. And that's helped a lot of people, too. Now, I've done another first, which is to I was worried about this takeover of Vista Power by Hydro One out of Ontario. And what bothered me about it, I could see no public benefit to it, and except to the stockholders, of course. But Ontario has the highest rates in North America. Yep. Hydro One does. For instance, we pay 8 cents a kilowatt hour here. With Avista, they pay into the 30s up there, three or four times.
You mean Hydro One?
Hydro One, right. Up in Ontario. So I didn't see any reason why that would change. They have a huge debt load. It's very opaque. You know, even the tip of the iceberg that you do see is very convoluted. So I just thought, well, this needs to stop. So I put together a group of grassroots people that were concerned, and we brainstormed it. And one group kind of wanted to come up with an injunction and to try to stop it, delay it, till maybe they get Trump involved. I came up with coordination. Coordination is a process that comes out of the 1970 National Environmental Policy Act. And what it does is says that federal and state agencies have to coordinate with local officials on anything that may impact the human environment. Now, the human environment isn't like the where the deer and the antelope play.
No,
it's
no,
not
no.
nature.
Yeah, sure.
The human environment is the economy and the social customs, the uh-huh. cultural things,
right.
history and all that. So those all have to, anything would impact that, they have to coordinate with you. Now, coordinate does not mean negotiate. It does not mean consult with. It means you are on an equal basis. You both have to agree before you go forward. So what I did was I initiated coordination Monday, 2 days ago, at the Attorney General's office with the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission. Now, what happened in the meantime was Hydro One, the new minister, Prime Minister of the province of Ontario, fired the CEO for incompetence a couple of weeks ago, and the entire board resigned. So they're kind of the whole thing's back to square one. Now is the perfect time to initiate coordination because it should come in early in the process.
Okay.
So since I feel like I have a fiduciary duty as county treasurer to protect our tax base,
yep.
and you know, for not just the residents, but the businesses and the districts, the school districts, the fire districts.
I can see how
I felt
it
was incumbent on me, and I knew how to do it. Nobody else really could have done it to go ahead and initiate coordination. Now, this brings them to the table, and they would have to prove that there's absolutely no economic harm, no undue rate increases that would come up. And it worried me also from another standpoint that it's a goal towards a global government, which bothers me. You know, there's right. a little bit of a swamp at the county level, but it's right. nothing like federal or world government would be
right.
awful. You have no representation.
Or even state, yes.
Or state even,
yes.
Yeah.
Right. The smaller, the farther down you go, probably the smaller the swamp gets. But mm-hmm. the question I have is this this coordination simply a Treasury responsibility, or is this a county responsibility?
Well, generally, it'll be a Board of County Commissioners or a City Council that passes. This is the first I was talking about. This is the first time a solitary public official, an elected public official, which it has to be, was able to initiate coordination.
Okay, so what I'm getting to is we've known this has been a problem for a long time, and we've been asking people to get engaged mm-hmm. at a local level. And thank you for getting engaged for all of us, because you are protecting our human environment. But I guess it goes to, how come this didn't come out of the county commissioners? How come this hasn't come out of, you know, the Spokane City Council? They should have been on top of this, along with the county commissioners.
Well, for
I mean,
one
it's great that you're leading. Yeah. It is great, but go ahead.
A lot of them didn't even know about it. I mean, they're just vaguely aware about it and didn't realize they sort of had a responsibility to oversee this thing that would impact the residents. Plus,
right.
a lot of them have received donations over the years from Avista,
interesting.
Too, which would make it kind of difficult to make it grind to a halt.
Well, so most people don't know that the state legislators have the power of oversight over the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is what distributive government is when you actually distribute the power of oversight down to the lower level so that you make sure that you just can't be ran into the ground, or somebody can run rickshaw over you. And so I think that's great that, one, you were attuned to this and you're stepping in. What are the chances of Avista being bought out by Hydro One going away?
Well, it's still a possibility, but I think this has put the stake through the heart of this whole issue. There's an attorney, Fred Kelly Grant, down in Napa, Idaho, that discovered this when
okay.
he was reading the National Environmental Policy Act. A little bit of wording in there they had to coordinate.
Right.
And he used it to stop the the NAFTA thing, that the Texas Trans-Texas corridor that was clear up to Canada, and actually that caused the whole Security Prosperity Partnership, North American Union, to fall
SPP,
apart.
Right? Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah,
good.
So he's used it in a lot of several things. The reason why you don't hear too much about it is the attorneys can't make a lot of money out of it.
Right.
It's like the perfect tool for the Ninth and Tenth Amendment.
Right. 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 And with that now new feather or new, if you want to call it a bonus line on your resume, I believe that this is a great opportunity to make the political hay on that. But I'm just trying to, you know, put it out there that obviously it's great that you happen to be in office, because if not, then we would have been probably thrown to the wolves, because our commissioners and councilmen and all these other folks that are in and can be. Let me ask you this. Let me finish my point, that all of these people who have this position of oversight failed to do that. I mean, that can't be a good grade for them. And this to me is wind in your sails, and, you know, I believe in your campaign. So just want the listeners to understand that. But is there a way we can get Avista to actually make our rates more competitive to Inland Power?
Well,
because they're paying less.
Yeah, it's also tied in with different things that depends on. For instance, I didn't know this till I got into this, that hydroelectric power is not considered renewable. I mean, I learned in first grade it was renewable, if you remember the water cycle.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, they passed something and said that's not renewable. And then to meet energy mandates with green energy, they had to build all these windmills, you see, around solar farms. And they're not very very useful. There's a net loss, you know,
right,
with the investment.
Well, absolutely. So there's no I think the standard for renewal is, I think you have to buy something from General Electric.
Oh, it could be.
Because that was like a huge windfall for General Electric's turbines that leaked oil and killed wildlife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I know that Inland Power, and I know that other parts of the state actually pay a lot less than we do. We actually pay some of the highest rates in the state, along with probably King County. I don't know. But it would be nice, because one would think that public utilities, it should be a nonprofit game. And it would be, you know, I think a good thing for somebody to champion moving public utilities back to a nonprofit game again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why CEOs make millions of dollars a year on bonuses and so forth for these public utilities, because we need their talent for what? I mean, what kind of talent are they bringing to the table?
Mm-hmm. No, I never understood that either. Why a business would, you could probably get a college grad a few years out of school to be able to do the same things for a lot less, you know. But no one really looks at it, because you have to pay it. You know, you can't, well, I'm going to switch to Inland Power or Vera Power. Well, you can't do it because you're stuck where you're at. That's
right.
One of the problems with why utilities have to be public. They're not fully free market,
right, right,
things. So I think if you really need something, then you probably do have a public solution. Like utilities, like for electricity or water, you've got to have that stuff,
right,
to live.
Right.
Now, schools might be different. You know, some people can't afford to homeschool or to send their kids to private school. So there sort of has to be a safety net. But I think public schools are better for the competition. You know, that's the problem with that McCleary decision. You know, it's not fully funded. Well, what does that mean? That's like a blank check, you know.
Right.
And I think there's been direct correlation of money going to schools and less education as a result of it, too.
Oh, right. And it's all the, I guess that's what Stossel used to call the fleecing of America.
Right.
Right. It just seems like we got 1 minute left, or less than a minute left. And before I even throw out any stupid comments from myself, any saved rounds, anything you want the people to know besides getting out and vote for Rob Chase, mm-hmm. I can say that even after you're gone, but anything else?
Well, I hope, I know I've been a good treasurer. I believe I'll be a good commissioner. I don't make any promises. I don't belong to any club. The only promise I make is to fulfill my oath of office,
which is to support the Constitution.
Support the state and federal constitutions and the county ordinances.
Right, right. There you go. That's big. And you know, folks, that's big with me on this show. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever seen my pledge, but I'd love to have you look at my pledge and petition. And if you'd sign it, I'll be happy to put you on my endorsement, candidate endorsements. And what we'll do is we'll talk about this offline, if that's okay with you, because we're out of time. And so, folks, we will be right back after this heartbreak. So please stay tuned. And again, like I said, we'll be right back. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I'm not sure about you, but we are back, and I was pretty impressed by Rob's interview, but I want to get into that after I finish what I want to say about Northwest Grassroots and Cecily. She's taken an incredible amount of heat for actually trying to protect somebody's constitutional rights and actually trying to give somebody, because not her, let's be clear, it was John that did all of these conversations, and he is Northwest Grassroots as well. And so it is, it was John's call to literally get out there to be, to give this guy an opportunity to kind of clarify, because this, this identity politics. Now, I think, Mr. Alsop called it, label lynching, but I think it's more appropriate to call it identity politics, because most people know exactly what that means. And John decided to allow this to happen. And so if you go watch the Northwest Grassroots movie, it's not like he said white power or anything like that. This has been taken way too far out of context of what was trying to be done. And I still believe that there has to be an open and honest dialogue. When we stop having open and honest dialogue, we are quickly sliding into a fascist state. And that's exactly where the socialists want us. Anybody who has social justice as a operandi or as a motivator, then I can tell you, you cannot trust them, because they are people that are trying to put aside the Constitution for their ends. They have nothing to do with individual liberty and have nothing to do with individual sovereignty. They are wholehearted supporters of statist government and ramming down your throat their paradigm. That's why it's really critical that if you listen to yesterday's Red State Talk Radio podcast on my Reclaiming the Republic, I start talking about how polarized we are and these paradigms of why we are such opposites in the spectrum. A great example on opposites in the spectrum: in the sound spectrum, low frequencies are omnidirectional and high frequencies are very directional. The higher up you go, the more directional it becomes. And so We are literally that type of opposites when it comes to ideologies of those who want subjugation or statism, or what I refer to as Platonism, and those on the other end of the spectrum where you'll find me, which would be individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And actually, if you really start thinking about the characteristics and traits of the individuals on the far end or at the end of individual liberty and sovereignty, you'll find that they're very Christ-like, because they want... He wants people to be able to freely choose for themselves what they do. And that's how, based on our faith and works, that's how we'll be judged. And on the opposite end, you will be compelled, you will be forced, and if not, you will not be tolerated, you'll be excoriated, you'll be cast out, and possibly even killed. And history has a great pile of evidence, whether it be Pol Pot, Mao, Stalin, you name it, there are plenty of despots that have done this, that are on the statist side of subjugation. Now, let me get into, one final thing. I know that there are calls for people to have Cecily resign. Maybe it might be best if Cecily steps away from the Northwest Grassroots, because there are too many people that want to associate her with this constitutional free speech concept with the GOP. And apparently the GOP is just not attuned constitutionally. People, folks, I've got another set of bullets coming of what we need to do to change the GOP to become centered on the Constitution. And you listening, you who are not necessarily partaking, if you want to see this country saved, you have to start changing your paradigm by getting involved to some extent. So I don't want to lose concept and lose track of the fact that I need you to vote. I need you to start getting involved and no longer just, you know, having a cavalier attitude that you don't matter. Every single vote matters, and we need to overwhelm the system. So let me move on, and I will try to fire hose you more next week, because I don't necessarily have anything in the queue for next week as far as what we'll call interviews or guests coming on. So I'll have the full hour to literally fire hose you with all of these concepts and what we're fighting here. Rob's interview was just absolutely amazing to me. I tried to call him out on PCO finagling, and not a negative word. Rob basically says that, you know, he literally goes through the factual side of exactly what's going on and how it's going. He's not one to roll over. He's a tenacious person. He wants to do the right thing, and he wants to serve. And I don't know anybody in public office that works more than him. The interesting thing is, Rob does not have an attack dog. It's not like he's gone after, you know, the city police chiefs or, you know, anything like that to go after Mary, where there are plenty of bullies out there attacking Rob and making all sorts of assertions. And I want you to think about what kind of people will do that type of thing. It's typically those people who are fascist and or autocrats that are actually willing to step aside, just like we were talking with Cecily and what's going on. Fascism has no tolerance for a liberty-minded person. So my hat's off to Rob. I know I'm backing the right guy on this. And here's the interesting thing. This whole coordinating thing, I tried to point out and give him political hay on this. He's the only one that came up with this. Maybe we need that kind of experience at the city council level. There's no doubt we absolutely do need it. It's not maybe. We absolutely need it. Because unfortunately, even Al French didn't think about this. I've been on the commission for a while, and obviously Mary didn't think about it. We need a county commissioner that is willing to actually use the tools that are available to them to help protect the quote unquote human environment. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to see Rob start forcing these coordinations on this road calming coming out of the city council in impacting our productivity and our ability to commute or just traverse the city in one fashion or another. That is that is the human environment. We need Rob to get involved. He's been an awesome treasure. And again, like I said, he amazes me. And I believe that it is obvious that trying to get him to speak up about his opponent or having any type of negative tone, just it wasn't there. He is the epitome of a gracious candidate. Again, like I said, he doesn't use any attacks or bullies. If there's anybody out there, they're literally doing it on their own for Rob, because Rob would not. I asked him if he wanted me to get out there, or what do you want me to do? And he goes, no. I want to do this as gracious as possible. Now, I don't necessarily want to use this because I'm trying to actually provide you with objective information. So we'll send out an email. Actually, an email has just been sent to Mary to get her in here so we can get her side of the race, because, you know, until we have both sides of the story, and that's what we have to do in journalism, we have to get both sides of the story. And that's, I believe, what Northwest Grassroots was trying to do in getting both sides of the story. And so if there's somebody else that wants to come up with fallacious and false types of assertions about Mr. Alsup, then I think that, you know, Northwest Grassroots can kind of go through that. They can make their own decisions. And if they find that it's all false, then that's what you'll get. Because I know John will not pull his punches. He will land blows. And I'll go back to this. This is really critical. If you have not listened to my Red State Talk Radio, then yesterday and today's show, I'm still going into this Platonist and how dangerous these folks are. They may tell you that, you know, we'll just agree to disagree. They love using that as code word. But I am telling you that what they're doing is they are saying, well, I'm going to quit right now because I haven't figured out how to destroy you. But I will destroy you, because they are programmed with intolerance and scorched earth. And if you look at how the scorched earth, where it comes from and its origins, it's from fascism and the exact far extreme left of the spectrum. When you go to the right or to the liberty side of the spectrum, it is far more tolerant and allowing people to actually hang themselves, speak for themselves, and so forth. You've got to start understanding who and what we're dealing with. Those of you who are in support of liberty are, like I said, you're probably portraying far more Christ-like attributes than, you know, people in the middle. And as you keep going down that spectrum, those people are portraying some other form of attributes. And the best word for it, it's a four-letter word, it's evil. And that's all I can say, because anybody that is willing to do anything, lie, deceive, and kill, which the far extreme leftists have done, like I said, Pol Pot went out and killed people with education because he knew that they were the greatest threat to his power base. Anyway, so I hope to have Aline Lindstrom maybe back in, not next week, but the following week, just to do a quick, you know, discussion and a, you know, talk about the primary turnout, the outcome, and so forth. And I actually want to reach out to Vicki Dalton, because I think it's really important to try to have, you know, the objective side of this and let her kind of speak to this, because I'm, you know, I actually see this and our process as a problem. I'd like to know why we got away from this and why we can't have a better process that is fully transparent, that there is no one individual. And talking about my paradigm, that we're so polarized as an ideological people, that you have to have both sides, both left and right, whenever those ballots are out in hands of anybody. When they're locked up, you have two-person integrity, just like we do with classified material. Anyway, so I hope to have her back. And last but not least, if you haven't mailed in your ballot by the end of this show, then shame on you. Get that ballot in. We need maximum turnout. And as you can tell, that's the end of the show. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic with your help. And we can do this starting with Spokane. I'll be back next week. God bless.